Welcome to the Overweight Mind podcast. My name is Jay Nixon, and I'm the best-selling author of The Overweight Mind. This podcast is where the power of positive psychology, mindset, and personal development converge to transform lives. I hope you'll join us on this uplifting journey as we explore the secrets to creating a lifestyle that leads to happiness, health, and wealth. Discover how science of the mind can help you achieve your weight loss goals and unlock your full potential of life. It's where the magic of the mind meets the path to a healthier, wealthier you. Welcome to the show. Dr. Romy, welcome to the show. We've already had a little pre-chat that's got me even more excited than I already was. So welcome to the podcast.
Jay, thank you. And thank your listeners. I've been geeking out to have this conversation with you because I think you and your listeners are going to be some of the few people that get why I'm here to disrupt the toxic diet culture. So this is going to be amazing together.
I love it. And the whole busy brain, I think before we even dive into it, I bet everybody who hears that word's like, well, that's me. Well, that's me. You know, I haven't, yeah. I've told probably 50 people I'm going to have you on, like just to get some, you know, like, hey, what questions would you ask?
Yeah.
And every one of them is like, Jay, that's me. Like, Jay, that's me. That's like, me. I'm like, well, settle down. Maybe it's not. Let's figure what Doc's going to tell us if it is or if it isn't.
What's a busy brain? Should we just start there?
Yeah, let's jump in.
A busy brain has nothing to do with this 24-hour news cycle or social media notifications going off on your phone. It has nothing to do with the external world. Busy brain is a term that I coined studying the negative impact of chronic stress and burnout in the workplace with high achieving professionals like everyone that listens to your podcast. And this is what a busy brain is. Clinically, it's a triad of symptoms that when we're under chronic stress, the brain goes under a pattern of neuroinflammation that leads to these three symptoms: anxiousness or ruminating anxiety during the day, having adult onset ADD or ADHD, and then insomnia. And look, there are the balloons again. Mac is agreeing.
We're just going to let it go.
And we're going to let it go if you're watching the video. And that is it. So let's talk about symptoms. Does your day kind of looks like this? You're like, woo, I do not have Jay or Romy's energy until I have a venti latte with oat milk. And if they put in whole milk instead, I am going to be bitter all day long. And I'm going to tell Jay and Romy, it was just that latte, but there may have been a few additional energy drinks with that too. And you get to work and there's multiple computer screens open in front of you and multiple browser windows open in your brain. And you can't focus because I want to send a 3-minute thank you email to Jay for having me on this podcast. And 37 minutes later, I'm distracted and everything else feels like a code red emergency in my brain. And I'm anxious and the to-do list is multiplying faster than I can take care of it. So I'm going to go home and stand on self-care just like Jay and Dr. Roe were saying. And I go home and I can't take the edge off. So you're going to have a glass of wine or three, no judgment, or some overpriced supplement from some Instagram influencer. And you're going to stand on sleep tonight. And you put your head down on the pillow. You're wired and tired. And there's 72 warring conversations going off in your brain. And it's the most negative, intrusive thought that's like totally taken over your brain. Or you fell asleep because of the alcohol or a sleeping pill, but you wake up somewhere between 2 and 4 a.m. and your brain is wide awake, thinking about your to-do list. You're like, girl, let me just get up and do a load of laundry before the kids get up. Sound familiar? That's a busy brain.
You just described half, if not 75% of all of my clients or some version of that. Now, your background is in neurology, neuroscience. Like, give us a little bit of your background because I've researched you, but I want the listeners to know how brilliant you are.
Thank you. So to give people a background, I know a lot of people throw around the label doctor. I was raised proudly by immigrant parents in the state of Illinois in a really small town with one success mantra from my father. I have one daughter and you will become a doctor. And it was up to my grandmother, mother, and aunties to make sure that little Romy grew up and behaved and studied your math and science like a good girl so you can go to medical school. And mission accomplished, I entered neurology at a time where less than 5% of the brain doctors in the United States were women. And then I was doing cutting edge research, not only seeing patients, but on the role of hormones in women's brains and epilepsy and migraine. I mean, I'm a total geek girl, socially awkward. It explains why I struggle on first dates, Jay, even to today. And I will be honest with you, like on the outside, it looked like I had done it, everything that was expected of me. I am now not only a doctor, I am a professor, a nationally known researcher and curator of fabulous designer shoes. And on the inside, I was suffering of what I now call a busy brain. I literally felt like some days my brain cells were on fire. Most days I felt like a failure. I was really struggling. And you know, back then we didn't have terms like mental health crisis or burnout in the workplace. And I learned firsthand that chronic stress will create physical disease and that chronic stress can kill you. It almost killed me. And I ended up in life-saving surgery in 2010. And I was laying there in the hospital bed, Jay, thinking, oh, good God, nothing I've learned from my elders or in medical school is going to help me. What do I do now? And I ended up on a global journey that you read about in The Busy Brain Cure in chapters 5 through 9. And the teachers and the healers that came along in the way, including me obtaining a board certification now in integrative medicine, to really understand the science of global healing traditions and getting to the root cause of illness. And so I am here today with The Busy Brain Cure with the solution. So nobody has to suffer down that path that I do. And in my current role, I am now a chief wellness officer at Great Wolf Resort. So my job is to use data-driven solutions to keep over 12,000 employees healthy mentally, physically as a whole person. And other Fortune 500 companies call me to give lectures on mental health and wellness or building a workplace culture. So that is from hospital bed to living a purpose-driven, mission-driven life. That's what happens when you hear a busy brain. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. There's a lot to unpack there. So, you know, mission accomplished, you got to be a doctor. When did you start to, were you like this as a child, or did it kind of exacerbate as you got into the world of like becoming a doctor and that kind of life cycle? Like when did it start to manifest itself?
What, the busy brain?
Yeah. Kind of like when you realize like what's happening up here isn't just I'm busy. It's not just I'm a doctor.
Such a good question. No one's asked me that. Okay, no. In childhood, I probably like most of your listeners, I was a high performing student, straight A. I wasn't an athlete. My version of athletics was speech team, debate team, and yearbook. I was a journalism jockey, but just really smart and successful. And what was the difference then? That as busy as I kept and had a part time job in high school and all the things, is that I protected sleep. And then probably somewhere in medical school, that tendency to cram before a final exam started, or when you start your clinical rotations, you would be working the night shift, but I was still okay. I think looking back now, it built up over internship and years of residency, and you read about it in the book, because we'd be awake working for 2 to 3 days straight. And chronically sleep deprived. And so when I look back, I think it was when I was now finished 2 fellowships and I'm a neurology professor doing research. I think it just, I could pinpoint things going wrong. Yeah. Like 8-9 years into my medical career, like after I'd graduated medical school, because now I'm like pushing and it's like somewhere between 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I would get hangry and I couldn't focus. And the nurses in the clinic knew, ooh, it's Dr. Romy's witching hour, bust out the chocolate, right? And my 3 main food groups to live on back then were coffee, chocolate, and wine at night. So I don't come from a place of judgment when anybody tells me their nutrition program. It was the only way I knew how to survive. And it was then that I think I started to notice that I was struggling, but it was my family members telling me, but I wasn't hearing it, or my friends going, you're just not yourself.
I bet you perceived it as normal though, because of the environment that you were in, like that world of becoming a doctor and the in.
Yeah. I kind of looked around and I'm like, am I the only one suffering? Cause everybody else is working hours like me. And why is no one else dealing with this? But here's the thing, Jay, this is not just about healthcare. I know, you know, you were telling me before we started the pod that your sister is a nurse practitioner, and like, shout out to her and any other nurse practitioner. But I now work with Fortune 500 clients across every industry: tech, finance, hospitality, oil and gas, you name it. And this is everybody in a post-pandemic world. Why? Because when our dads were going to work, there was like a clear shutdown time. You know, as a doctor, maybe you would get a phone call at home if there was an emergency, but we didn't have laptops or phones and have to check emails. So you could disconnect from work. Now, so many people even work remotely that the boundary between your work and your personal life is like gone.
Absolutely. I love what you said about the neurological inflammation, because I think when people think about inflammation, they think about, oh, I sprained my ankle, and that's what inflammation is. They don't realize the catastrophic nature of like systemic, like internal inflammation
in your body and in your brain. From
the gut to the brain access, and there's all of those pathways.
Did
you know that? Did you know that's what was going on, or you had to go on your journey to kind of figure that out?
It's kind of like when you're in the middle of your mess. I was in survival mode. And so I'm not here to judge anybody else that's in the middle of their mess right now. I had to like go through my mess so I can help you with yours. And so if you're like, oh my God, I have a loved one in my life or a colleague at work, Dr. Romy, I need to give them your book. You're going to try to tell them and they're going to be like, what? Like there's something when you're in survival mode like that, that you're doing whatever you can to cope. And that's why I have like such a deep compassion and empathy for when people come to me. I really do my best not to judge. And that's what maybe mindfulness has also taught me as well, because I've been in that place, or I would realize like, you know, I need to eat healthier, but I'm like, I've just had a 16-hour workday and the last thing I want to do is cook. And I'm an old auntie and Uber Eats didn't exist back then, you know? There was maybe drive-throughs or something, but it was like lean cuisine meals. If I had the energy to even eat, I would be so exhausted, you know, and you knew you needed to do something different, but I was so exhausted and in this fight or flight mode with work that I just couldn't cope and do that.
Well, it sounds like too, like it's in the world we live in today, it's a lot of like symptom management as opposed to like figuring out like what the root cause is.
I think we're getting better at that. When I went into integrative medicine now over a decade ago, it wasn't as common, but 68 medical schools now have fellowships of integrative medicine, which is getting to the root cause. So I feel hopeful for healthcare. It's not moving as fast as any of us want. You need doctors in the sick care system. Like, so if somebody has a car accident and a fracture or a heart attack or stroke, you want doctors in the hospital, but you do see a big section of doctors and nurses going into integrative functional medicine to keep people healthy or get to the root cause of disease. And, you know, there's a balance. And so, because I know you've had all kinds of experts on. And the one message I have today as a doctor of both Western medicine and Eastern traditions is it's a wrong way of thinking for your health or societal health when you're like, I have to pick one or the other. Someone that remains healthy like I do today, you have both involved.
Right. Absolutely.
And you don't choose one or the other. So anytime there is a traditional MD DO doctor saying, oh, yoga, that's nonsense. The chiropractor, don't go there. You know, I wouldn't trust them. And then same for the chiropractors or the functional medicine doctors or yoga teachers that are like, only do things my way and buy my course and buy my supplements and don't, your doctor is bad. Again, don't trust them. There's wisdom in the bridge that's between. And that's why it was so important for me to come on your podcast, Jay.
One of the things I tell people as a nutritionist and somebody, like you said earlier, you're a nerd and a geek, like this is all I care about. It's all I talk about. Like people are like, what do you watch? And I'm like, well, it's usually some weird documentary on how the brain is affected by blah. So I love this stuff. And I always tell people, like, if you go to a nutritionist or a whatever it is, like doctor, whatever, and they immediately tell you that what somebody else said is vehemently wrong and their way is the only way, you should just leave. Right. Like there's more than one way to do multiple things. I have a personal question. It's not crazy personal, but growing up with your background and your heritage and then becoming a doctor, like, were you raised Eastern, Western, like a combination of both, or did you go into medicine?
I think so, but I didn't realize it because back then, Okay. Oh my God. You're such a good podcast interviewer, because like for people that I'm on my book tour and podcast journey, and you know, Jay is like podcast interview number, I don't know, 68 right now. And you, thank you for asking me questions that no one else has asked. Oh, I so appreciate it. It means you've done your homework and taken time to read my book and get to know me.
I want to know you. Thank you. I care about you as a human, because
Imagine it. I am a daughter of immigrants, and I have a really unique name, and I really don't look like anybody else in my class. And all I wanted for my mom in the fifth and sixth grade was to send my lunch. I wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich like everybody else in a brown paper bag. And my mom was like, no, I bought you this Snoopy lunchbox in the first grade. I am not wasting money on a brown paper bag. You will take it and you will eat what I fix. And I didn't appreciate back then. My mom was making homemade Indian food.
Yeah, real stuff.
And which is now people pay an arm and a leg to learn Ayurveda. But I wouldn't get like a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I would get, my dad is a cardiologist, so we would get whole grain bread, or I would get like, we call it roti, pita bread is the English word. And I would get like a shami kebab in the middle, which is great protein. It's like ground beef mixed with lentils and dipped in egg. And it was like home cooking with all the anti-inflammatory spices, like all the things. And that would go in a sandwich bag. But you can imagine now, in a plastic sandwich bag, in a plastic lunchbox, when you've got Indian spices marinating and you open up the lunchbox, the aroma.
Oh yeah.
And everybody else has got their Wonder Bread with peanut butter and jelly. And I would open up my lunchbox and this aroma would come that felt like home to me. And people were like, ew.
Right.
And here is a throwback. We need to put a link. I will send it to you.
Okay.
I think like Harrison Ford owes my people an apology. When I was back in grade school, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was trending, and they really did a disservice to my culture. And they showed in India that people were eating monkey brains. And so growing up, I became, do you remember this scene? If not, Jay, I'm going to send it to you.
I believe I do
watch
now.
The movies.
But I didn't pay attention to it then. Yeah.
There's a YouTube clip. So I'm going to give it to your podcast. Okay. So listen, so nobody wanted to sit with me at lunch because I became the girl that was eating the fried monkey brains. And this is a really important lesson for your listeners, because I was being fed whole foods of my culture that my ancestry, that my genetics would appreciate. And back then you didn't have Amazon to order these Indian spices. My mom and aunties would drive for hours to get true Indian spices, and to cook this food, it's complex, and to have like a freshly cooked lunch from my mom, I didn't appreciate it, you know. Wow. And we would get apples and fruits because dad knew my kids need, you know, their fruits and vegetables. And, you know, we would get Little Debbie snap cakes every now and then when we came home from school, but really we had such balanced, nutritious food. And here it was like in my private life, I loved this food. It was like a core memory of joy that gave me comfort that you and I are going to talk about in a second. And then society was telling me, ew. And somebody else had written the narrative for the people of my culture. And I'm so glad that it's 2024 now and that we're having different conversations than 1984.
Absolutely.
But it's really important to know, because, and I'm going to close this full circle for you, in the nutrition world that you and I live in today, I want to say 90% of nutrition experts, not you, this is why I was so excited to talk
to
you.
Could be me. I don't know.
the 90% of the nutrition experts that are out there are like those judgmental kids.
Yeah.
At the lunch table saying, ooh, you can't eat that. And what do I mean by that is, if you look at the most pushed nutrition protocols, the people that have been on your podcast, the people that are in the holistic health world, those meals are very Anglo-Saxon, Eurocentric, US-centric, just 7 to 10 foods. And I'm here as a woman of a diverse background, but also as the chief wellness officer. And I work in the world of organizational wellness. Everyone should feel invited to sit at the lunch table, no matter what you're eating.
100%.
And we all have foods that heal our spirit and our brains and body that are tied to our religions, our state or country of origin, a family recipe that's been passed down, a religious holiday, like all of the above. And so I think that's so important. And that's why I was so excited to talk to you today.
Well, yeah. I think that's amazing. And I'll tell you a fun story in a second, but I always tell people that there's no such thing as a, Jay, what's a bad food? And so I'm like, that's such a term that really shouldn't exist. Now, there could be bad combinations and bad quantities and things of that nature. But as far as like a food being like, you know, off the table for anybody, I really don't believe in that. But I'll tell you a quick fun story. My first Indian food experience was at Pretty Zinta's house in Beverly Hills. I'd never had Indian food before. She was one of my wife's clients. My wife owned a day spa in Los Angeles. And so Pretty Zinta became one of her clients and they became friends.
Okay.
And
I just want to pause right now because I'm fangirling. Most of your listeners have no idea who Pretty Zinta is. She is like the Julia Roberts of Bollywood and the rest of the world. Bollywood Indian movies are popular all over the world, except for in the United States. Like that's the equivalent of saying Julia Roberts invited me to her house for a meal. I'm kind of fangirling right now, but keep going.
So we'd go out to dinner with her all the time and she invited us over. She's like, I want to have an authentic, so she had her chef cook at this most authentic Indian extravaganza. I don't know if you know who Dr. Raj Kanodi is. Mm-hmm. So Raj is there and Pretty Zinta's there. And like, I've never even seen Indian food. I'm from Texas. Like I thought barbecue was the only food group that was available. So this was probably maybe like 12 years ago or so. And it was unbelievable. Like you talked about the spices and the flavors and the smells. And I'm such a nut. Like I was in the kitchen with the chef. And I'm like, what's that? And like he was explaining to me the different spices and how, like you said, how challenging they are to get and the combinations. But it was one of the most extravagant meals. But from what she was telling us, like from the culturally, this would just be a normal, you know, this would be a normal dinner with her and her family. So it was phenomenal. And what a great experience to have, you know.
I'm so glad you had that. And then I'll share this is when I go to Texas on business or with friends, like, dang right, I better be getting a good steak or some barbecue, right? And that's what comfort food is. It's that core memory of joy. And when I wrote The Busy Brain Cure, I was like, I'm not going to be like every other integrative functional medicine doctor and put people on a diet. Diet is a four-letter curse word in my world. And I know it is for you too. And we're going to break down both of us, the brain science around that in a second, is we actually ask people on our 8-week protocol and moving forward to schedule comfort food so that if I know I'm going to Texas and I'm meeting Jay and his wife, I'm going to be like, y'all take me up for some life-changing barbecue. That's going to be a scheduled meal. You come to visit me in Orlando. I am going to take you for some amazing Indian food, you know? And that's the idea is having those moments where you eat the food. The difference is you're not stress eating, where you open up a bag of chips or the large pizza and you have amnesia for how the entire box of pizza or bag of chips got finished.
You and I have the same exact belief system. I tell people all the time, it's like, if you go to this place that specializes in this certain dish and whatever, you should have zero reservations of eating that. One of my vices is probably like, I don't eat a lot of desserts, but if I find this like chocolate chip cookie that is the most extravagant thing you've ever seen by like a baker who like spent his entire life crafting the chocolate chips, I'm eating that chocolate chip, but I'm not going to go to the grocery store and eat a whole bag of Chips Ahoy because
you're stressed out.
Right.
You're eating it to process a busy brain. Yeah.
Yes. So you and I are on the same place on the same page.
I love
Yeah. Go somewhere and experience life because like you said,
that's joy.
Calms and quiets the brain. So talk more about that. Like, how did you come about that? Like after you left kind of the crazy, you know, US medical world and you started your journey, like how'd you walk into that?
That particular thing with nutrition, I walked into, and you read in the book, chapters 5 through 9 in The Busy Brain Cure are all the science, but I really wanted to also share the powerful leadership lessons of all of my teachers and guides that came along the way, which Jay, like yourself, are male allies. And I really wanted to highlight what it looks like to have a male sponsor, ally, mentor in your life. And you'll read about Dr. Paul Pritchard in the book in chapter 7. He was a neurology professor and one of my first mentors. And, you know, we would be rounding on the neurology wards. And these were people inpatient neuroscience floor that were really sick. They and scared. They had come in with a stroke, a seizure, something really awful, Parkinson's. And he wouldn't just walk in the way the rest of us were taught to just start asking symptoms like, Jay, tell me about your headache. He would start asking him where in South Carolina they were from. And I call it the angel food cake factor. He would say, now, do you all have a good family recipe for angel food cake? And 9 times out of 10, they did. And if they didn't, they would talk about some of their family recipe. And you would see this joy coming across their face and family members that are talking, and this comfort that just happened, and this trust and this compassion. And I didn't get it then. And then later on in life, when I became a chief wellness officer at Evolution Hospitality in 2018, and there was like this intimidation of, oh my God, corporate is sending the chief wellness officer, a brain doctor, out to these hotels to talk to us. Something about that lesson that was instilled in me as a young doctor from Dr. Pritchard came, and we started to talk about comfort foods. And people ask, what was my success? How did over 70% of the people adapt our mindfulness program? It was because it was done face-to-face over a meal, sometimes with a translator because English isn't a primary language, and talking about our favorite foods. And it was then that I started to hear this one phrase over and over, Dr. Romy, please don't take away my rice. Don't take away my rice. And you know what that means, Jay, and a lot of people may not on the podcast, but rice is the most commonly consumed food globally. And yet is villainized here in the United States, like those judgy girls and boys at the lunch table. And it was then that I had that aha moment of the diet culture is hurting diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging in a corporate setting. Like, people should be able to eat, whether you're vegan or paleo or a carb lover or chocoholic, or mama put some Indian food in your lunch bucket, like, you should be able to eat that food and everyone is welcome at the lunch table. And then I started to dig in even further, going, how could I create a busy brain cure without putting people on a diet? So I had a little time in my hands in the pandemic, and that's when I came across week 5 of the protocol. Can we jump into what that is?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's basically, I wanted as a brain doctor to look, why are you, the individual who's taken the busy brain test, now we'll put a link in there, and your score is above 30, why are you losing focus in the middle of the day and why are you feeling anxious? And it turns out that your brain has insulin receptors, and that insulin receptor is really sensitive to spikes in blood sugar and caffeine, two things. And if you're struggling with focus, it's because this yo-yo that's happening. And so the rule of thumb came, if you're going to take a food known as a high glycemic carbohydrate, something that's spiking your blood sugar, white flour, white rice, white potatoes, white bread, then no caffeine for an hour before or after. You get one or the other. And I said, let's test this theory because it's there in the science and the literature, the negative impact of the combination of caffeine and high glycemic foods. It's there in both diabetics and non-diabetics. And so we put people through this, and about 1,000 executives or even more went through this protocol in our research period. And what we find is most high achieving people like you and I, Jay, when we're busy like this, we're going to pick caffeine and not the carb. And if you pick the carb, then I don't want you to have judgment. Like, you had rice at lunch, if you had pasta at lunch, if you had pizza, yay. I hope you enjoyed it and had great company and didn't shovel it in at your desk, and enjoy it. Yeah. And then, like, yay, people like by the end of the 8 weeks were reporting, like, I didn't feel like I went on a diet because I was still eating comfort food. And the brain bloating is down, the belly bloating is down. People have lost a pant size and they're focused and laser energy all day. And I was like, oh my God, this works. So okay, that's the protocol.
Talk to me.
Okay. So break it all down.
Are they competing for receptor sites? Like, what's going, like, why is the combination so
really bad? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start from the 30,000 foot view because I really think your listeners need to know this.
Yes.
You've talked a lot correctly on your podcast about type 1, type 2 diabetes. Mayo Clinic now has something they call type 3 diabetes, which is that regardless if you have type 2 diabetes in your pancreas and you're needing medications, this is something separate. We have insulin receptors in our brain. Blood sugar crosses the blood-brain barrier. It's one way the brain gets fuel, right? So, like, we need fuel in the brain, but there's a problem is when I eat, I'm going to use an example of cookies. Okay. Because you said chocolate chip cookies earlier and my blood sugar spikes. Now my insulin levels are going to raise in my pancreas and in my brain. And that is now going to drop the blood sugar. So you've got a yo-yo in the brain. So the first thing that happens there is that can feed into anxiety, that feeling of anxiousness. Number one, that yo-yo in the blood sugar in the brain alone. Okay. Caffeine binds to the adenosine receptor. So you don't get tired. Okay. But when you have caffeine in the brain, it is also stimulating and pushing insulin release. So now you've got two things pushing for insulin release, and you're starting to deplete the insulin stores in the brain. So that's one thing that's going to feed anxiety. But number two, the lack of focus, what's going on there is when you're getting these spikes in insulin and insulin resistance in the brain, it's actually, now with caffeine alone, we know at certain doses will help you focus. You throw the blood sugar on top of it, you're going to lose focus. And over time, this affects something known as your default mode network. That's key in your attention span and focus. And when your DMN is disengaged, which it will be from spikes and blood sugar back and forth yo-yoing, and that gets worse with caffeine on board, guess what? I can't focus. There's too many browser windows open. I'm wondering, do I have ADHD? So you go and the doctor screens you and they're like, you know, you kind of fit it. Let's give you a trial of Adderall or Vyvanse. And you're taking it and you're like, why am I feeling on edge and a little shaky and anxious all day? And maybe I need more sugar. That's why.
Right. Yeah, you don't have an Adderall problem. You don't have a lack of Adderall.
You don't have a dopamine
problem
in the brain. Maybe it's going to give you a little boost. There's this yo-yo that's happening. And it started, by the way, from inflammation of the busy brain, the chronic inflammation that I go through in chapter 5 of neuroinflammation in the hypothalamus, which is your circadian rhythm. And so now your circadian rhythm is off. And so is your leptin and ghrelin. And all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I am going to the grocery store for that entire bag of chocolate chip cookies and I'm going to eat it. And blood sugar is going up and down. And ooh, now blood sugar is down. I'm a little tired. Let me have some caffeine on top of it. I mean, forget all the things that are happening in your pancreas. I'm talking about what's happening in your brain.
And I'm assuming this has a correlation with, like, you know how when people, like, they say after lunch, I'm like, I almost have like a crash, or I can't focus, or I have this like weird, you know, after I eat, because I'm assuming they're probably having the high starchy carbs, the sugars. And then before they go back to their desk or whatnot, they're having a Diet Coke, a cup of coffee, an energy drink.
You know, I don't judge that. I don't judge
that.
No,
but would that be a reason for a crash?
That could be one, but I really want to say this is I also work with people as you do that are eating low glycemic carbs, a good balance of protein at lunch and healthy fats, and you still may be a little tired in the afternoon. Okay. And it, because if you have a busy brain, cortisol levels are kind of now crashing at a level faster than they need to be. And you may be sleep deprived. And so there may be some other things going on. And that's why we check labs in the book, like your vitamin D levels, your thyroid, all of that like needs to be checked. So in a simplistic term, absolutely. If you have a, let's say French fries or a bagel for lunch, and then a soda or energy drink or coffee or tea with caffeine in it, that could create the crash for sure, because your insulin spikes, your blood sugar plummets, and now you have a crash, and you're going to take the coffee because it'll help with alertness and it'll spike the insulin again. Right. So that could be it. But honestly, in my world, like your world too, Jay, most of the people we serve are clean eaters. They don't go off the rails that often at lunch. Right. And so I look for the other reasons why people are crashing in the afternoon. And to me, that's what weeks 4 to 8 in the brain shift protocol are. It's literally re-engaging the energy systems in your brain and in your body to help you stay focused throughout the day.
I love that. Let's talk about that. I love that clean eater, because I think there's a lot of people listening right now that are like, Doc, Jay, I'm doing everything right.
Yes, you are.
All right. Mm-hmm. But I'm still have diagnosed with myself. I haven't taken the test yet, but I've self-diagnosed with busy brain. Like,
yeah. What okay. Else? So first step what is like, let's not self-diagnose because I'm a practical doctor. There is a free test, the busy brain test. This is a neuropsychology battery that's been around since the 1970s. We labeled it the busy brain test. And you can take it for free. 17,000 people took this test during our research period from December 2020 to December 2022. And that's kind of where I got the research. And that's how we built the protocol and then tested the protocol in about 1,000 people. So I really want to explain that to your listeners. Yeah. Take the test. If you score above a 30, keep listening to this podcast. Okay. And yes, Jay, to your point, like I work with high achieving professionals like you do. Most people are on some version of clean eating. Like even their cheat days aren't as bad. Okay, as what you're talking about. Welcome to my world. You still have a busy brain because chronic stress has been going on. You have neuroinflammation in the brain. You're eating clean and you're gaining weight or you're not losing weight. Here are three reasons we're going to give you why, what to do. Number one, you take the busy brain test. Week one and two of the protocol are coming right to your email inbox. That is chapter 11, the 7-day sleep challenge. I need you to get back to sleep. We need your circadian rhythm to be restored. Helps metabolism, helps your daytime energy, all the things. That's step one. When I know that I've restored your sleep and we have safe supplements that we recommend as well inside the book, then the second step is we actually check labs, Jay. Because now, listen, 2 years ago, you would have been like, hey, my life was good, but now I'm under chronic stress. There's, you know, a merger and acquisition in my company. I'm thinking of switching careers. You just had a newborn baby. You got married. Like life happens to all of us, right? Now something may be going on. Chronic inflammation hits the hypothalamus, hits the circadian rhythm and your whole hormone system. Here are three other things I want to check after sleep. A full thyroid panel. In both men and women, but especially women that are listening. We have saved, I don't know how many lives with this. Number two, a vitamin D3 level, D as in dog, we find is off when people are under chronic stress and in burnout. And then number three, I want to know your nutrition profile and how many healthy fats you're eating. And those are the three things that I want to check. And in that area, we find the answers. And then obviously you need your thyroid corrected or vitamin D3 levels corrected by a medical professional. And honestly, that becomes game changer.
I would say of the labs that I review, I mean, I'm probably being extreme, but 90%, at least 75% are low on vitamin D. Some people chronically low, like in the 12, you know, like 9, mm-hmm. 20.
Yeah, I don't think you're exaggerating, by the way, because the medical literature shows that. And I really just want to say something. If people are watching this video, I'm sitting in sunshine. I live in Florida. Are you in Texas still too?
Palm Desert, California. So
we're in Sunshine State. And I want people to understand if you live in sunshine, you still risk a vitamin D3 deficiency from chronic stress and inflammation in the gut or inflammation in the brain. Both, right? Yeah. Will affect the vitamin D metabolism. And you're absolutely right. It is a health crisis. Like, and I just want to backtrack. Like, this isn't something trendy from integrative medicine doctors. Y'all, I went into neurology in the late 1990s. Back then, we were looking at vitamin D levels in people with multiple sclerosis, schizophrenia, depression. Like, the literature has been around forever. What doctors maybe at that time didn't start looking at was, hey, if I'm worried about a vitamin D3 level for somebody's brain health because they have multiple sclerosis or schizophrenia or depression, shouldn't I be thinking about a normal person's brain health? And today you fast forward and it's 2024. It is like mind-blowing how much fatigue, depression, increased risk of Alzheimer's, like all the things that are happening, your brain fog after COVID, menopause worsening, all the things if your vitamin D3 level is off. And like, you're like, girl, is it that simple? Yeah, it really is that simple. Like, I feel like people are going to come to this podcast and they're going to open up this book and see like pages and pages of hundreds of medical studies. And I'm like, yes, boo, it was as simple as your vitamin D3.
Right. I'm glad you said, I mean, I preach it and scream it from the rooftops, but I always like to get somebody smarter than me to say it out loud so that I can.
And it's now. A key element, like in adult onset ADD, ADHD, and anxiety. It is so important. Can I just talk about one other thing other than vitamin D?
Of course.
Thyroid, because I know you have a lot of listeners, especially women. And for the men listening, please don't tune out right now. I want you to think of the women in your life that you love, mom, sister, partner, daughter, niece, granddaughter. You read the story in the book, and I did it not to drama dump, because so people would understand. Jay, I'm a doctor. And remember I told you early on, I was researching women's hormones and the effect on the brain. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about thyroid, and I was like, God, this kind of sounds like me. My hair was falling out in chunks like this when I was really stressed out. And I had never had a regular period in my life. And I went to the doctors, the endocrinologists, they were men. And I said, listen, please, like all these symptoms, it sounds like thyroid. And all they did was check the TSH and T4 and T3 and told me I was fine. Yeah. And then I get sick and I find my way to integrative medicine. And you hear the story, I tell it to a male doctor and they check the full thyroid panel. And it turns out all those years, autoimmune thyroiditis had been missed in me. And at age 39, they put me on thyroid medicine and I get finally a regular menstrual cycle in my life. And, you know, it's like heartbreaking if you've gone through a fertility journey. And I share this story because every woman that's listening right now, if your busy brain test is high, please get a full thyroid panel. Don't just politely ask your doctor, demand it from them. And by the way, if they're not listening, we partnered with Rupa Health. You can go to our website and click through and get a lab slip. You have to pay for the labs and go to LabCorp in your city and get it drawn. And a doctor in your state will read those labs for you. It's that important. 1 in 8 women in America is walking around with a thyroid disease. If you're a woman of color or have melanin in your skin like me, 1 in 4 women. But here is the thing, Jay. Most of these women, 40%, their only symptoms are, guess what? Anxiety and can't focus, ADD. And a doctor said, oh, you're just a tired mom. You're hormonal and probably menopausal. You know, here's some Adderall. And they didn't check the full thyroid. So yes, thank you for letting me have that soapbox.
Oh, I think that's a beautiful thing to say, because I couldn't agree with you more. So a lot of times a client will come to me and they'll be like, Jay, I'm going to get blood work done. What do I need to tell my doctor to do? And if it's female in that age range, every single time I have to say, you have to have a full thyroid panel. You can't just let them test.
I'm going to tell you this from adulthood, because my book is written for age 18 and older, even 25 and older, let's be real. But even to men, women that are postmenopausal, everyone should get a full thyroid panel checked regularly. I feel like it should be a part of your regular labs every year, like they're checking your blood sugar and cholesterol.
I'm a 50-year-old man, and every time I get my blood done, I get my full thyroid panel, just because I want to know what's going on inside.
Yeah.
Because everything tells a different story. And if they're just doing the baseline, like you said, for so many years, you had no idea. And then all of a sudden it's like, get a full panel. And you're right. Like, so I want you to speak to this as a doctor, because this question comes up. I'll send them in with, hey, this is what you need to get done. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a full panel. It'll be a full hormonal, the whole nine yards. And the doctor will say, you don't need that. And my client will say, okay. And I'm like, that's not the answer. It's not okay. So as a physician, I want you
to say, I want to get these labs done so I can be healthy or the best version of myself. Number one. Number two, for our busy brain panel, we have it written in the book and written on our website, is tell them, I read The Busy Brain Cure, give them a copy because the science is all in there, and say, I have these symptoms. I'm not sleeping well. I am anxious. I can't focus. I've been on a strict nutrition protocol and exercise protocol with a great nutritionist like Jay, and I'm not losing weight. Something is going on. Please check these labs for me. And if you do that, because often a doctor just needs an ICD-9 code to pair with your insurance, because what will happen, you and I both know this, the large panels that you and I are checking may not be covered by insurance, and that's thousands of dollars. And a doctor or a hospital doesn't want a bunch of angry patients going, why did you get these labs, right? So it's why, again, we partnered with Rupa Health, and you can get it for a lower cost. But, you know, we designed our lab slip, Jay, so that most traditional U.S. health insurance companies will cover them, because I deal with corporate America, and we need these labs covered. Right. So just advocate for yourself, but give symptoms as well. Yeah. So that the doctor can justify it in the medical chart. So somebody isn't going to come along, because I was a doctor in clinic. And if somebody had been working with you And they're coming to me for migraines. And they're saying, hey, by the way, Romy, I'm working with this nutritionist, Jay. Could you check these labs? I would also have to say, hey, medical legally, I'm not sure I could justify it. You're coming to me for migraines. Now, if you tell me, hey, I'm having difficulty losing weight, I'm anxious, I'm not sleeping, now I could justify getting all these labs.
I love that. That's a great way. So give them the symptoms and do all of that. One thing I think most of my listeners, I'd say probably 75% of my clients and listeners are female. So whenever they start to get into that hormonal phase of life where things aren't working like they want them to, or they feel like they should be, I feel like everybody just really concentrates on like, oh, well, what's your estrogen or what's your testosterone or progesterone? And nobody really talks about like the other things that you're talking about. So
it's, yeah. And we miss it. So yeah. First of all, can I also add to something important? Yes, you're absolutely saying, when you say women get to that age or that time in their life where they may be hormonal, I, even as a traditional neurologist, I considered a woman's menstrual cycle a vital sign, like your blood pressure or heart rate. So from the time that a young girl gets her menstrual cycle, it's important to know about your menstrual cycle. And it is always important to know about your hormonal health, even if you're in your 20s and 30s going, hey, I'm getting a regular period. I tried to get pregnant. I did. I'm on birth control. I don't want to get pregnant, whatever. You should always know your hormonal health, just like we check cholesterol at every age, by the way. And in your 30s, 20s and 30s, if you've been told you have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, or you have endometriosis, or you may even be in perimenopause early, sisters, check your full thyroid panel. Like that is what gets missed. Even now, as we get into 40s and 50s and women are in perimenopause or actual menopause, we still must check the thyroid. And by the way, I'm going to transition this to men because I serve a lot of men as well. And in busy brain, obviously low testosterone is a cause. And we see this in men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, we get a total free testosterone as well as DHEA levels in men. And by the way, if you just treat the testosterone in a man and you don't look at thyroid, you're missing the picture and they're going to have all the symptoms of testosterone toxicity and still, by the way, have the anxiety and difficulty focusing. So whenever I see a testosterone level that's off in a man, the first thing I want to do is check a full thyroid panel as well.
I love that. And I like what you said too. So I think you mentioned here, like something about glorifying stress and the burn, especially in men, like it's almost like a badge of honor. It's like, well, I worked 187 hours this week. I didn't sleep once. You know, it's like, I find it to be silly. Like, and I'm somebody who cares about their body immensely and their life and their mindset and their abundance. And I feel like it's this like badge of honor that all of a sudden then turns into a badge of disease or a badge of some kind of really big
success. I mean, that's the way society is like to be a peak performer or successful, you have to push yourself at the edge of burnout. And that's why I wrote The Busy Brain Cure. I want you to be successful. I want you to build an entrepreneurial empire. I want you to be an effective C-suite executive, but you don't have to burn yourself out or kill yourself to do it. And that's why we have a test. We have a protocol. We have a simple way for you to optimize in 8 weeks, your circadian rhythm. So weeks 1 through 4, really focusing on your sleep cycle and lowering anxiety levels. And weeks 5 through 8 are focusing on your daytime energy and focus. And it's that simple. And you get to eat comfort foods. So I get to have barbecue when we all meet in Texas, or you come to Florida and you'll have Indian food with me.
I love it. Before we go, I really want to touch on this one last thing. We talked about sleep a little bit. I think most people are sleep deprived. It's one of the first questions I ask somebody when they walk in my studio.
Amazing.
Like, Jay, I need to lose 50 pounds. I'm like, how do you sleep? And they're like, don't you even know what I eat? And I'm like, eventually, but let's start there. So talk to me about the negative ramifications of the lack of sleep that people are getting. Yeah.
Well, there's so much. It's tied to increased risk of dementia, heart disease, worsening menopause symptoms, low testosterone, like all of the things, right? We know sleep is essential, but when it comes to busy brain, the neuroinflammation has hit the hypothalamus and your sleep wake cycles off. That's why you have racing thoughts before bedtime, or you're waking up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to bed. Your energy hormones are peaking in the middle of the night instead of first thing in the morning. And that's why it's important, like you do, we start with sleep as a part of the protocol. We have 2 supplements that we recommend. I'll always talk to your primary care provider or healthcare provider before you start these, but magnesium glycinate and 5-HTP, a precursor of serotonin and melatonin, is something really important that we discuss. to take, and it'll reset your circadian rhythm. And within 7 to 10 days, it'll reset your sleep cycle. And here's the magic thing that happens. Now, leptin and ghrelin, your hunger hormones, are also balanced because they're a part of circadian rhythm. And all of a sudden, that stress eating goes away. So that desire to go to the pantry and again, get that bag of chips or cookies or eat for emotion goes away. And then when you have a comfort food meal, you're not feeling out of control.
I love that. You're absolutely brilliant. I could talk to you for days.
Brother.
This has been so this has been so great for me. I know everybody else enjoyed it, but if I'm being selfish, this was awesome for me. So I just want to say thank you first and foremost for, I know your time is uber valuable. What do you want us to do? Like, what's the next thing we can do?
First of all, thank you for teaching the world and your community a holistic health point of view for nutrition that's balanced. I love that. And thank you. The next step is, y'all, if those symptoms resonated, that racing thoughts before bedtime, waking up in the middle of the night, wondering if you can't focus or got adult onset ADHD, you can take the Busy Brain test for free. We'll give it here in the show notes. Yep. And buy the Busy Brain Cure book. It's on Audible. It is in bookstores globally in 6 different languages, about to be 7 languages soon. Awesome. And on Amazon, and go through the protocol. And I think the last thing I would tell you is, if you are in that dark place, because I've been there, you've got Jay and I as your hope holders now. And just know that your brain is not broken, your mind is not a mess, and hope did not depart your soul. Like, just join us and brain shift, and we got you.
You are awesome. This was by far one of my favorite podcasts ever. So thank you again for doing that. And I'm gonna promote this podcast and you and your book from the rooftops. And so
same. I can't wait to share it with my community as well, Jay, and the work you do. So bless you for the work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you for being brilliant and beautiful. And thank you for coming on the show today.
Awesome sauce. Have a great day.
All right. We'll see you in a bit. Before we dive into the show, I want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of this episode. It is very dear and near and close to my heart because it is Lori's company, SpaStar. If you ever had the opportunity to watch someone create something from a thought or a vision and make this magical thing actually come to life, well, then you'll know why I'm so extremely proud of her and why I'm so excited to have her sponsoring the Thrive Forever Fit show. If you've listened to my podcast, then you probably heard her on episode 259. If you haven't heard that, I would go listen to episode 259 as soon as you finish this episode. She talks about the story of how she created it, the adversity she overcame, the challenges that she worked through, and just the inspirational story that I know you're absolutely going to love. But what SpaStar is, it's a luxury wrap. And it was created as a spa wrap for people who were getting beauty treatments. But what we found out is it is a piece for everyday life. People are wearing it as swimsuit cover-ups, resort wear, just to get ready in the mornings or for that special event. It is the most unique piece. And I've actually worn this thing several times. That was the actual first model for this. Maybe I'll show you guys some photos of that when the time is right. But it is such a cool creation called the Get Ready Wrap by SpaStar. And because you're a listener, you get 15% off today because you support me. So just go to spastar.net, spastar.net, the word spa, the word star.net. And at the checkout, enter Thrive15, T-H-R-I-V-E 15, and you're going to get 15% off of your Get Ready Wrap. So many of my clients already have these and absolutely love them. We're selling them all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, to high-end luxury spas, and to people just like you that are using them inside of their own homes. They're traveling with them. They're using them at the pool. It's so really just unbelievably cool to see and witness. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And I'm so blessed to have Lori actually sponsoring my podcast, which I think is really, really cool. So go check out SpaStar. I know you're going to love it. It is the coolest thing ever. And guys, this isn't just for ladies. This is one of the coolest gifts you could get your any female in your life, for that matter. If Lori hadn't have created it, I would buy them for her as a gift to show her my love and appreciation. So dudes, if you're listening and you need to get a gift for your significant other or some special person in your life, go to spastar.net, grab a Get Ready Wrap. There's all kinds of colors. There's black, there's sage, there's a berry color, there's a gosh, I just went blank. There's a kind of a greeny, kind of avocado-y color. Really cool. You're definitely going to love these, I promise. So go to spastar.net, check it out, support Lori. And Lori, thank you for sponsoring the show. All right, let's get to the action. I hope you guys enjoyed that show as much as I did. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I am so thankful and so grateful that you take the time to listen to the show every week. And it means the absolute world to me. If you've got a little bit of time, it would mean everything if you would go and give the show a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on, as well as share it with a friend or family member that you think might find value in the show. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being an awesome human and listening to the Overweight Mind podcast. Thanks, and we'll see you again next week. All right, bye.